Unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. So very early on in his teaching, before the Lord approached the cross and before he rose from the dead, he was teaching his disciples by this image. Unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains alone, likening himself to the seed. So he is that seed, he is that grain of wheat. And all his life on this earth, even though he was surrounded by these 12 disciples, the Lord felt the loneliness of being misunderstood, the loneliness of rejection by those who he called his own. The loneliness, even from the disciples, who when push came to shove, abandoned him. The loneliness of experiencing the suffering for our sins, the price for our sins, all by himself. He trod the winepress alone. And he was alone. Until he rose from the dead and then sent the Holy Spirit. And then those whom he called his brethren on earth, then they truly started becoming his brethren, because they had the Spirit that belonged to the same Father. So he was no longer alone. And he's not alone now, because we belong to him. He calls us in his humility, he calls us his brethren. Like I get to be the brother and the sister and the mother of the Lord Jesus. That's out of his humility. So he is that seed, and it fell to the ground and it died. And it no longer remains alone because he rose from the dead. And we meet the seed in today's reading. The seed that was, the seed that fell on the wayside, on the stony ground, and amidst the thorns. And sometimes we may have been tempted to liken ourselves and to dismiss ourselves and to think, well, what hope is there for me? I'm just like the wayside. I come to church and I leave church and I forget what I prayed for. I forget what we heard, and I feel good when I'm here, but when it comes to my real life, I can't live like how I wanted to live when I was in church. I'm careless in my life, or I'm heedless, or I'm indifferent. Or I might have felt like I'm the stony ground. I'm too hard-hearted. I want to love God more, but I can't love God more. Or I might feel like I'm the thorny ground. I'm choked by many desires and many concerns. And I would like to live with the Lord more closely, but I can't. But what if the Lord were to say to each and every one of us today that you are the good ground? Even though you might think, even though I might think I'm a ground that's full of thorns, but no, I'm a good ground. And how am I a good ground? What's the difference between the wayside, the stony ground, and the ground that yielded the thorns with the good soil? And if you read it, it's an alarming difference. The only difference is that the good ground is fruitful, bears fruit. All the others bear no fruit, nothing at all, nothing. Like, say, that these grounds received hundreds and thousands of seeds, not one of them became fruitful. Not one. It's odd. Not one seed. It's very hard. If we had a garden at home and we planted hundreds of seeds, if we had a massive farm, tens of thousands of seeds, not one to be fruitful? What if this good ground was talking about the last state that we are in, the state that we meet the Lord? The Lord Jesus explained that the seed is himself, he is that grain that fell, and it's also the preaching of the apostles, the preaching of those who preach the word of God, the preaching of the Lord's salvation, the good news. That's the seed that falls into our hearts, and we who have accepted God and accepted his salvation and who love the Lord Jesus, we are already fruitful, but in different measures. Sometimes that's important to remember. So we are that good ground that bears 30 and that bears 60 and that bears 100-fold. And this good ground is watered, this word of God that we receive, that we've already received, our belief in the blood of the Lord Jesus to save us from our sins. It's watered by the same holy scriptures that were preached to us in the first place for us to believe. And through the grace of God. What is the fruit? In the readings of the church of the same day today, like the Matins reading, the Lord teaches us that the fruit, the Vespers reading, sorry, the fruit is the love of God. So this is what the Lord requires of us. They are the two commandments that the Lord said is the sum of all the law and the prophets. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And the Lord Jesus then also lifted it up a notch and said, you shall love one another as I have loved you. That's the fruit that's expected of us. It's a hard ask. That's the hundredfold. The hundredfold. So the fathers of the church would explain the hundredfold. These are the saints, the martyrs, those who lived all their life in celibacy, the virtuous, the 100-fold that rendered to God His perfect expectation. When He said, you shall be perfect, they reciprocated to God. They gave to Him what He expected. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. You shall love your neighbor as yourself and as I have loved you. But what if that's not me? What if I don't love God with all my heart, all my mind, all my strength, all my soul? What if that's not me? We all know how much God loves us. We all know. We all know that He came and He incarnated, and the fathers teach us when it says that the sower went out to sow, that it's the Lord Jesus incarnated and He initiated that love for our sake. He went out and He came into the world because we couldn't go to Him, and He went to sow the Word of God. But what if that's not me? God gave us the 30 and the 60 and the 100-fold. I think it's one of the nicest verses in the Bible. 100-fold, 60-fold and 30-fold. The 30 is one of my favorites. And I think the best way to put it is the 30 is that what we that which we dismiss a lot of the time. That little disposition in our hearts, that little feeling in our hearts to desire to come closer to God, that little turning, that beginning of repentance, that's 30, and that's fruit in the sight of God. That's fruit. Sometimes that's all God requires of me. He may require the 100-fold of somebody else, but maybe the 30 is all that He requires of me, at least now, at least right now. We'll have a look at some examples of 30s and see how this is our God, the same God. Rahab the harlot, who was in the city of Jericho, lived all her life in sin. And then one day, God arranged that this woman entertain two spies and save their life from death. And she said to them, she reasoned with them when she knew that the city was going to be overturned. She said that our hearts melted when we heard about you guys. You crossed the Red Sea. We know how mighty your God is. And we were scared. And then she reasons and she says to them, since I have shown you kindness because I hid you, you also show kindness to me. And then this is her boldness and her request. Someone who has no boldness before God. She says, spare my father, my mother, my brothers, my sisters, and all that they have. Save my whole family and save my life. Because of what? Because I showed a little bit of kindness to you? That's 30. That's 30. She was condemned. God said to the children of Israel, you are to wipe out the inhabitants of Jericho and the like. She was saved because God received that little tiny kindness that she showed. And it wasn't even a perfect kindness, it was out of fear. Samson did many wrong things in the sight of God. And then at the very end, his prayer, he says, when he was blinded because they took him captive, he says, O Lord, remember me, I pray, just this once, that I may take vengeance on the Philistines for my two eyes. I want to take vengeance on my enemies because they took out my eyes. It's not a great prayer. He didn't say, let me take vengeance on your enemies, God. He said, let me take vengeance on my enemies. And God said, you know what? I'll help you. And he fulfilled his mission as a judge of Israel. He asked God, God, I have the same enemy as you. And sometimes we do that. Sometimes we struggle against sin. And we don't like the consequences of sin in our life. So anger doesn't make me a nice person. I don't like the way that I am when I'm angry. My desires, when they're not checked, and I indulge in this or that desire, I don't like the person that I am. So I say to God, God, I don't like the person that I am. That's 30-fold. I have done nothing to change who I am. I have done nothing to struggle yet. All I'm saying to God is, I don't like the person that I am. Like Samson. Sin has done horrible things to me, God, and I don't like what sin has done to me. And immediately God rewards that. Straight away. King Ahab was one of the most wicked kings in Israel. And God came and said to him on one occasion, because he killed a man, took his field. He said to him, that's it, you're a dead man and so is all your house. And then King Ahab, God says about him, but there was no one like Ahab who sold himself to do wickedness. That's it, he's the worst. And then Ahab, when he hears these words, he tears his clothes, puts sackcloth on his body, fasts, and lays in sackcloth and mourns. Big deal. God should have said to him, too little, too late. You caused all my people to sin. You defiled my nation. You broke my commandments. You shed blood. And I talked to you through my prophet. And you rejected me. And now you think, because I told you I'm going to punish you, you're now going to come and beg for mercy. Sorry. But God accepts that. And he says the nicest thing. He says to Elijah the prophet, see how Ahab has humbled himself before me? He's bragging about this wicked guy who repented to his prophet. And he's saying, look at that. Because he has humbled himself, I'm going to have mercy on him. Sometimes we do that before God. Sometimes we feel like this may not be enough, but sometimes it is. I come before God and I say, I'm sorry. And I humble myself before him. I haven't started struggling. I haven't started doing anything. All I have is this beautiful fruit of wanting to come close to God and wanting to repent. There was another king, he was a good one, King Josiah. Now he did many reforms, cleaned up the kingdom of Israel. But he was praised a long time before that. When they were cleaning the temple that was misused and neglected, they found the book of the law. And when they found it, Josiah said, "Let read the book." And when they read the book, he was touched and his heart melted and he wept. And God said, hold on, hold on. You haven't done anything for me yet. You haven't actually taken any action. You haven't knocked down the idols. You haven't fixed up the temple. You haven't taught the people how to worship me. You've done nothing. But God said to him, but you've done something. You have been touched by the word of God. How many times has that happened to us? How many times do we come to church or in our own reading or we're listening to something and something touches our heart and we feel this nice feeling in our heart, like we feel God's love. We want to come close to Him. We want to do something for Him. We want to repent. We want to enjoy being in His presence. That is fruit. That is fruit. That is the beginning of you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. That's very special because sometimes we dismiss it and we say, I felt like that before. I felt all these lovey-dovey feelings towards God before. I felt these feelings that I want to come close to God before. But the very special feelings, very special. Anytime when we're listening to something, a nice spiritual song or the Word of God or anything, or something happens in our life and touches our heart, that touch is a fruit. That's a gift from God. All through Jesus' teachings, he's got the 30, the 60, and the 100-fold. Ask and you shall find. Seek, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. There are different levels. Asking is easier than seeking. Seeking is easier than knocking. There's different levels of persistence. And sometimes we think, I have to be so persistent. I have to ask, then seek, then knock before God can give me any fruit. No. No. God says the sweetest thing after that. He says, ask
and you will receive. For everyone who asks receives. Oh, so if I ask and I don't seek, I'll still receive? What if I ask and then I seek but I don't knock, I don't persist? Will I still receive? Yes, you will still receive. You've already received. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks knocks, and everyone who seeks finds, and everyone who knocks, to him it will be opened. God rewards us immediately, and these rewards are stored up for us, and we enjoy some of them here too. Immediately, for anything that we ask of the Lord spiritually. If we ask God for repentance, but we haven't yet sought it and persisted in it, that's okay. You had that little inkling in your heart. I had that little inkling in my heart. I want to return to God. That's rewarded straight away. I would like to love someone that doesn't love me. I'd like to, and I pray about that. You're rewarded. I'm rewarded straight away. I'm struggling with a particular sin, and in my heart, I would like to repent. In my heart, I'm rewarded for that before God. 30-fold. That's the 30. I don't need to reach the 60 and the 100 before God accepts me, and not just accept, reward me. The prodigal son came back to his father. He did nothing. A little rehearsed speech. Father, I've sinned against you. Please accept me. He did nothing. There are no fruits of repentance except the fact that he came back to his father. On his way, when the father saw him, he ran to him. And then he gives him everything a son has, as if he never fell. The robe and the ring and the sandals and the fatted calf, everything. He did nothing. He just acted on a tiniest desire that we get so many times in our life. A cup of cold water, 30-fold. What's a cup of cold water? Big deal. It says you'll not lose your reward, 30-fold. When God says, blessed are the pure in heart, that's 100-fold. I wish I was pure in heart. But there's a little way to get around pure in heart until God gives me that grace one day. What about blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy? That's 30, 60, 100-fold. So if I show mercy to someone, I'm a fellow human being, I show mercy to that human being, God will show a mercy that is not proportional to me. He will save me. He will grant me forgiveness from my sins. He will grant me everything that I wasn't able to bargain with him to grant me because I lived a virtuous life. It's a great way. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain a mercy that's not proportional. If I forgive others, God will forgive me all my horrible sins. And one of the fathers, St. John Chrysostom, said a nice thing. He goes, you've got a lot of sins on your plate, right? Next time someone comes to upset you, that's a gift from God. A gift. That's 30-fold. If you forgive that person, if you forgive them from your heart, God will grant you repentance and he'll forgive you for your sins which you've done. And that's the promise from God. For if you forgive, it will be forgiven to you. But it's not proportional. I forgive my fellow man, God forgives me. One last example, the final judgment. And this applies, it's a nice principle. God gave us spiritual things. He gave us that we come to know him after he created us. He gave us that he came down and he died for us on the cross. He gave us the kingdom of heaven. All of these are spiritual gifts. He gave us his son. We'll never be able to repay him. But he says, no, you can repay me. It's not proportional. It's not 100-fold. 100-fold means I plant 100 seed, I get 100 plants springing up. God's not asking that of us necessarily. We may not ever reach the 100-fold, but that's okay. Maybe I'm going to reach the 30-fold and God will accept me. The 30-fold. I was hungry and you fed me. So if I can do any good whatsoever by the grace of God to anyone in need, physical or spiritual, God will give me what's not proportional. What's not proportional? He'll give me the kingdom of heaven. Why? Because I fed some people in his name. Because I satisfied the spiritually hungry, and because I met the needy and the poor. Because I visited the sick, he'll give me the kingdom of heaven. It's a beautiful way of maybe approaching God, that he doesn't deal with us according to our sins. He doesn't deal with us even according to all our efforts. His love is not a proportional love. And maybe a nice question that I was left thinking about is, what is my 30 that the Lord may look and accept and say, I'll reward you for that 30. Glory be to God forever. Amen.